Welcome to Bucks Talk, insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, a very impressive showing tonight from Damian Lillard and an impressive fourth quarter from the Bucks. As Doc Rivers said, I don't know if he used the verbiage of played with their food, but the Bucks, they weren't going about things the right way for stretches of this game. Ball movement was very, very good, and I think that has been consistent for this team coming out of the All-Star break, as you've seen much more ball movement. You've seen more movement without the ball, too, and I think a lot of that is a credit to Damian Lillard. But as Doc Rivers came to Milwaukee, we talked about what were the big initiatives. Number one was clearly fixing the defense and improving that from 22nd, where it was when he inherited this team, to at least somewhere respectable. Can you get to league average? Ideally, can you get close to the top 10, but better than league average? And he's done that. How do you get Giannis and Damian Lillard going and pairing off of each other and get that two-man game working? Well, number one is you got to just spam it. You got to run more of it. You got to beat it into the ground. You got to continue to work on it in practice. And as we've heard from a number of players, from Damian Lillard himself, that's what they've done, is you would get to practice, and they would work on those pairings, and they would work on that two-man game, and they would run it over and over and over to figure out, here's how defenses are going to attack this, here's what we're going to do when they do that. But the other thing that we had consistently heard from Doc Rivers, I should say one of the other things, because there's been a few anecdotes along the way, but one of those things was passing up good for better. And a lot of that has to do with the ball movement. We have seen a much more unselfish Bucks team in these last 20-plus games under Doc Rivers, and I think that has really started to explode in the last 10 or so games. You think about Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, and it's not to say as though these are selfish players and these are black holes. When you give it to them, it just sinks in there and it doesn't come back out. You think about the rerouting. You have Damian Lillard giving the ball up and moving without the ball, screening himself, getting himself some better looks, and his teammates looking for him. There's been more of a message and attitude, it seems like, in that give up a good shot for a better shot, and if we can do that as a team, you're going to get the same thing. And guys are willing to give the ball up if they know they will get it back in doing so. And that's what we've seen largely from this Bucks team under Doc Rivers. You saw that essentially for the first 24 minutes of this game, and I think you saw it for the last 6 or 7 minutes of this game. There were some stretches there in the third quarter where that wasn't the case. And I know it's not a great opponent that you were playing in the Brooklyn Nets. It's certainly not a good offense. Defense looked better for large stretches of this game. Doc Rivers said before the game, you know, I think there's a number of factors when you look at where our defense has performed lately. It slid from best defense in the league since the All-Star break to right around where it sits for the season as a whole, to basically a 10-ish league average, a little bit better defense. But as Doc said, you know, part of that is we played a couple games without Giannis. We still haven't had our full complement of players. We played 16 straight games without Chris Middleton. But part of it, too, is on us. We're not being physical enough. We're not getting into the ball. And these are all things we had talked about before Doc took over. When you don't do that, it puts Brook Lopez under stress. And it allows perimeter players to get the leg up on their counterpart, to get into the paint to attack. And Brook Lopez can contest shots. He is arguably the best in the league at doing so. Leads the league in block shots. But it's what happens when Brook Lopez contests that shot and nobody's around to clean up. That was the issue earlier in the season when the Bucks were getting pounded on defensive boards. Opponents were picking up offensive rebounds. They were scoring in the paint in high bunches because of that. And all of those offensive opportunities, if you're not scoring immediately on putbacks, as we have seen more often than not, you get second chances. It usually results in a three-pointer. And we saw a little bit of that pick up these last couple of games. Granted, you've played very good teams for the most part, but we've seen some of those little things pick up, areas that Doc Rivers pointed to before the game tonight and said, we got to clean this up if we're going to get better. And again, it wasn't 48 minutes, but for a lot of this game, those areas were cleaned up. But I think the biggest takeaway from this game tonight, it is impressive. Let's not lose sight of that, how this team came together down the stretch and won on the second night of a back-to-back, you would not have guessed the Bucks were the team that played last night just watching the last 5 minutes of the game. Damian Lillard is the biggest takeaway from this. We talked about this last night on Bucks Talk and said, you know, you're waiting for that stretch where Dame just takes over game after game after game after game. We've seen smaller stretches of Damian Lillard taking over. You've seen moments, I think would be the best way to put it, where, yeah, that's Dame. You haven't seen these prolonged instances of it. I know it's three games, but it's three games where Damian Lillard has scored 30 or more points. It's five times since the All-Star break where he scored 30 or more points. Four of those five, he's had 10 or more assists in those games. Three straight games, though, where offensively, not only is he scoring in bunches, he's doing it efficiently. And I think the big thing there is he's scoring at all three levels. He's hitting those threes at a much higher rate. Although, elephant in the room is Damian Lillard has been a pretty good shooter since the All-Star break. But he's hitting those threes at a higher rate. He is getting to the free throw line again. Seems like in the middle portion of this season, that was absent. He's attacking the basket. That's how he's getting to the free throw line. He's either scoring at the rim or he's getting fouled and getting to the line. And he is just creating. He's facilitating with his passing ability. And when you have that and you have Giannis' passing ability, that's going to open up a lot of open looks for players on your team. And that's what leaves you even more excited about the return of Chris Middleton. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. But a big win here, and I know it's not a good team, as we said. It's a team that's going to miss the postseason in the Brooklyn Nets, but it was night two of a back-to-back. You got Chris Middleton back last night. You didn't have him tonight. You had a big lead, right? 20-point lead that you saw evaporate. The Brooklyn Nets jumped back in front, and the Bucks fought down the stretch. They were the tougher team. They executed better down the stretch. They hit shots. Their defense was better. Everything trended Bucks in these final 3 minutes. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to some of your thoughts and take a look at some of those numbers I referenced from Damian Lillard. Just how good has he been of late? And what has he looked like since the All-Star break? We'll share some of those numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Another big game tonight from Damian Lillard. Another 30-10 game for Dame. 30 points exactly, 10 or more assists. 12, to be exact, in this one tonight as his Bucks take down the Brooklyn Nets by 7 here inside of Fiserv Forum. Another clutch win as well for the Bucks. As, again, a close game. We talked about this on the post-game show. You wouldn't have known it looking at the scores, as this was nip and tuck in those final two or so minutes. The Bucks did start to pull away down the stretch, really largely due to their shot making, but win this game by 7 points. One other score to pass along that has gone final. In Denver, the Nuggets have beaten the Knicks. It is only the third time this season that the Knicks will have lost a game that OG Anunoby, since the acquisition of OG Anunoby, though I should point out, OG Anunoby did not play in this game. So overall, they're still 15-2 in games where OG Anunoby has played. But if you take out that stretch of games that he missed with an injury, Knicks had been 15-2, right? It was a 12-2 start. Then they won two consecutive games with his return. Now he was out tonight. They're still very good with OG Anunoby, and since making that deal is the main point here. But Knicks lose tonight. So with this loss, the Bucks are now three games in front of the Knicks in the loss column. The Knicks and the Magic are now tied in the loss column as they each have 28 losses. And more than that, the Orlando Magic have 42 wins by way of their victory tonight. So the Knicks are now 41-28. The Orlando Magic are 42-28, meaning the Magic are now the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. So the Bucks, three games up in the loss column on the Knicks. They do hold the head-to-head tiebreaker with one game left against the Knicks. That is April 7th. Regardless of the outcome of that game, the Bucks are going to hold the tiebreaker. So this margin is essentially four games separating the Bucks and the Knicks. Bucks have 12 games remaining. The Knicks have 13. It's starting to get late pretty early here. So this result tonight, the Bucks win and the Knicks loss, greatly increase the chances that the Bucks are going to finish no lower than third in the Eastern Conference. We gave you those percentages last night as well, that the Bucks were a better than 80% chance to finish no lower than third. The numbers have gone up just slightly now. 86% chance with these results tonight, with 12 games remaining, that the Bucks are going to finish no lower than third place in the Eastern Conference. But the Orlando Magic, keep an eye on that team as they have an even greater percent chance of finishing fourth than they do fifth at this point. And we mentioned Bucks fans, we asked this the other night too, if you could pick one team, because when you look at these standings, it could be any of those teams. You cannot rule out the Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell set to miss a week, right? You can't rule out the Knicks, who have now been caught by the Orlando Magic. The odds are very high it's going to be either the Pacers, the Miami Heat, or the Philadelphia 76ers, but it really could be any of those teams that currently sit third through eighth in the Eastern Conference. And when we asked, if you had your choice, who would you most like to play? I think everybody would choose the Orlando Magic. Not a great offense. They have a very, very good defense. Not a great offense, though. A very young team. Not a whole lot of postseason experience. You got our old pal Joe Ingles on that team. But outside of that, not a whole lot of postseason experience, and especially from their head coach in Jamal Mosley. Those chances are almost out the window now with the Magic currently sitting at fourth in the Eastern Conference. But games like this, I'm going to point this out as well. We've mentioned this a number of times the last couple of weeks. Games like tonight are important for the Bucks, because with that remaining schedule that they have, it's getting easier. It's still not ideal what the Bucks have. But after this result tonight, Bucks are currently 10th. In terms of most difficult schedule remaining in the league, for most of the second half schedule, they were in the top five, right around third, and now it's dropped down to 10th. It's going to start to pick back up, but 10th. But games like tonight with the Brooklyn Nets, games like what you have in the very near future, the Washington Wizards, the Toronto Raptors, you got one game left with the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are the only three teams left on your schedule. 12 games, only three teams left that will not be in the postseason. And then you have the Atlanta Hawks, who are probably going to finish 10th in the Eastern Conference. Those four remaining games, Wizards, Grizzlies, Raptors, and Hawks, I'm not going to go as far as say those are must-win games, but those are very important because of what you were seeing transpire with, now I suppose you have to lump in the Magic for reasons we'll get to in a moment, but with the Magic, with the New York Knicks, before the injuries started to pile up for the Cleveland Cavaliers, with all those teams, with the schedule that they had left, and how it compared to what the Bucks had left, the winnable games, the games that you are going to be favored in, those are important games for the Bucks, because if you can get those games, it gives you more leeway, and you know you're not going to go unbeaten in the tough games you have left. One game left against the Celtics. On paper, it's tough. May not be that tough for reasons I'll explain in a moment. Two games left against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Those are going to be tough games. The first of those is Sunday. The Pelicans, again, coming on strong in the Western Conference. That's going to be tough. The Knicks game is going to be a very important game. Maybe you have put the Knicks on the ropes and nearly wrapped things up by then. Maybe not. Maybe you stumble. Maybe the Knicks are within a game. And again, they can't get the tiebreaker, but they can make things interesting in that game. Got a game against the Lakers on Tuesday. And I mentioned things are getting interesting with the Orlando Magic, because just as we pointed to with the Knicks, it's four games that are separating the Bucks and the Knicks in the loss column. with the Bucks having the tiebreaker in hand. It's three games overall in the loss column, four games knowing you have the tiebreaker. Same margin for the Magic, but there is no tiebreaker. So it's three games separating the Bucks and the Magic in the loss column. They've only played once so far this season. And the Magic won that game. You have two games left against the Orlando Magic. So the Bucks need to sweep those two games in order to take the head-to-head tiebreaker. If the Magic win both of those games, that right there, at the very least, would pull the Magic to within a game of the Bucks in the loss column, and it would also give them the tiebreaker. So we cannot entirely rule out the Magic continuing to climb in the standings. But all of this is to say these games, like tonight against the Nets, the games we just ran through, right, with the Wizards, with the Raptors, with the Hawks, with the Memphis Grizzlies, those are important games for the Bucks because of the other games on your schedule, because of those other eight games. Probably not going to go 8-0 against that slate, but if you win these games that you're favored in and that you frankly should win, means you can go 4-4. At absolute worst, you can go 3-5. That's what winning these games will do for you. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, we'll get a closer look at some of those Damian Lillard numbers, his play since the All-Star break, and some of the other eye-popping numbers. Mentioned one of them, but how successful the Bucks have been when Dame has nights like tonight. We'll get into those numbers after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
.115 to .108. Bucks take down the Brooklyn Nets tonight at Fiserv Forum. Night two of a back-to-back. And it was the first of three consecutive games at home. Those other two games are going to be big games. We can laugh at the second one of those because everybody always assumes a game against the Lakers is a big game. But it's a big game for the Lakers, given what we ran through in the network portion of the postgame with that play-in tournament in the West. So again, in the East, I think we know three things about the playoffs. We know the Boston Celtics are going to be the one seed. They're 11 games up in the loss column on the Bucks, and with 13 games remaining, a magic number, we're already discussing single digits on March 21st. We were doing this the other night, too. But the Celtics are likely going to clinch the conference, the number one seed, next week. We know Boston's going to be the one seed. We know the five teams that are out of the playoffs are going to stay out of the playoffs. The Brooklyn Nets are the next up. And with this loss tonight, the Nets are 26-44. They have 12 games remaining. They're six games back of the Hawks in the loss column. You basically need to go 10-2. And you need Atlanta to have a very, very bad finish to the season to catch them. So those five teams that are on the outside looking in, the Nets, the Raptors, the Hornets, obviously the Pistons and the Wizards, those five teams are out of the playoffs. The 10 teams that are currently there in the postseason, 1-6 playoff teams, 7-10 play-in tournament postseason teams. Those 10 teams, that's who's going to be in. We know the Celtics will be one. We know the field of 10 is basically set. The order is to be determined. And we know the Bulls and Hawks are going to be 9-10. Right? The Bulls are currently 34-36. They're five back in the loss column of the Pacers, Heat, and Sixers, those teams that are currently 6, 7, and 8. And they're two in front of the Atlanta Hawks. So you know the Bulls and Hawks are going to be 9-10. The order there to be determined, though I get the suspicion, Bulls are going to be 9th, Hawks are going to be 10th. So you know what is going to be there at the top, you know what's going to be there at the bottom. It's everything in between that is very fluid. And as we just mentioned, you know, you keep seeing these numbers and you keep hearing me point to, here's the percent chance the Bucks have to finish no lower than 3rd, and that number keeps growing. Right, it's getting close to 90% at this point. And you may look at the Bucks' schedule, which, again, has gotten easier. Still very difficult, but it's gotten easier. You say, well, look at the schedule that the Cavs and the Knicks have. How can the Bucks possibly have that much greater of a chance. It's because of that head-to-head tiebreaker against the Knicks. And this is, again, even in spite the fact that earlier this week, Bucks lost the tiebreaker to the Cavaliers. Cavs win on Monday night against the Indiana Pacers. Guaranteed Cleveland is going to finish with a better divisional record than the Bucks. So if it comes down to both teams finishing with the same record, Cavs would have the tiebreaker. But yet here the Bucks are, and not only is it a near 90% chance the Bucks are going to finish in the top three, the more you see this, the more it feels like the Bucks are going to finish two because of that Knicks loss tonight. Because the Cleveland Cavaliers continue to play shorthanded. Donovan Mitchell, we heard it's going to be at least a week before he returns. They're still playing without Max Strus. They're still playing without Evan Mobley. They've started to get injuries at the worst possible time. And if the Bucks finish second, the play-in tournament becomes interesting once again. Now, I've seen a lot of Bucks fans say, I'd rather finish third. I don't want to be a part of the play-in tournament. I don't want to have to rely on that. I don't want to have to wait to know who the opponent is. I want nothing to do with it. Just let the Bucks finish third so we know exactly who they're playing the moment the season ends. And I get that. Although I think there's a big difference between one and two. When you're the one seed, could be any one of those four teams. That's what the Bucks experienced last year. Because Miami Heat, you know, you look back at how that season ended. The play-in tournament a season ago was between a lot of the same teams. The Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, the Chicago Bulls, and the Toronto Raptors. Now, the order was Hawks in at 7, Heat were 8, Bulls were 9, Raptors were 10. When you're the one seed, you can play any of those teams because the two teams that finished 7 and 8, they play each other the first night of the play-in tournament. The winner of that game gets the 7 seed. So as you're the one seed, we'll put ourselves in the shoes of Bucks assistant coaches and everybody with the organization. You're the one seed, and you see here's the first night of the play-in tournament. We got the Hawks playing the Heat. We hope the Heat win. We like our matchup with the Atlanta Hawks, but let's see what happens here. And as we saw, the Atlanta Hawks won. So the Hawks get the 7 seed. So you go from, okay, it could be any of these four teams, to we can cross the Hawks off the list. Now it can be any of these three teams. Then you wait until the next night where 9 plays 10. And you saw the Chicago Bulls come back and beat the Toronto Raptors and say, okay, we can cross the Raptors off our list. We know it's either going to be the Heat or the Bulls. And then you wait until Friday night to find out, okay, this game has gone final. Here's the opponent that we have. Part of it is prep. Part of it is right now we have the time to really put in the prep work for this opponent. You know the four teams. And as we just went through the scenarios, you know day by day by day you can take one of those teams off the list. It's certainly not as ideal as getting a whole week to prepare for who the 6 seed is. So I get that part of it. But when you're the 7 seed, or when you're the 2 seed, I beg your pardon, it changes somewhat. You may not know Sunday afternoon who your opponent is, but you know it's one of two teams. So instead of having to start cramming for four teams as soon as the play-in tournament starts, you know you can look at it at this moment and say, okay, right now it's the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe two suboptimal opponents if you're a 2 seed, but you know at that moment, let's start prepping for these two teams. And then 2 days later, when the play-in tournament first night is held, you know exactly who you're playing. So in that small sense, there's obviously larger advantages that come with being the one seed. The thought of maybe we could get one of these teams that's currently 9 or 10, and let's not kid ourselves, there is a gap between the 9th-seeded Bulls and 10th-seeded Hawks and what you see 6, 7, 8 with the Pacers. Maybe not so much the Pacers, given how they've looked of late, but certainly the Miami Heat. In theory, the Philadelphia 76ers, with the thought that Joel Embiid would be back, even potentially the New York Knicks, there is a gap between those teams. So there are some other advantages. Sure, you could get one of those teams. You have home court advantage throughout the entire conference playoffs. But one small disadvantage, and it's not actually that small, is You got to wait until the end of the week to know exactly who it is you're playing for. I don't know how much stock I put into the, it's just like the NCAA tournament, and maybe you get hot. Maybe we saw some of that with the Miami Heat a season ago. It just seemed like it was more of a perfect storm of everything that could go against the Bucks and go in favor of the Heat, not just in that series against the Bucks throughout the entire postseason. It did. But being the two seed, maybe it's not all that bad. When you think about, you'll have home court advantage everywhere until the conference finals. You know who you're playing after a couple of days. And you know, again, it's two teams that you got to prep for. But again, the most important part about finishing second or third, but in this scenario, second, is you wouldn't face the Boston Celtics until the conference finals. And I'm going to say this once more. The approach and the mindset isn't ducking the Boston Celtics. But it also doesn't mean you want to face them as soon as possible because a number of things can happen. Anything can happen. So if you can put that off to not only continue to build some of those good reps and continuity and just get into the flow of things, you should want to do that. But who knows? Maybe somebody else would do the dirty work for you. Maybe the Celtics would have a cold series. I'm not wishing it on them, on any team. Injuries always occur. That's why you don't want that matchup earlier than you have to. And if you're second or third, that's what that guarantees. So this win tonight, I'm not going to say this is the reason why the Bucks have cemented that. But again, the importance of winning those games that you're going to be favored in with the schedule the Bucks have left. Tonight was step one. You still got four more of those steps and challenges, but the Bucks so far, so good. When you examine that part of the schedule. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I teased the Damian Lillard numbers and the Bucks numbers in some of those scenarios since the All-Star break. We will get to those after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
For Damian Lillard, where he scored 30 or more points, 10 or more assists as well, 12 of them tonight for Dame. I mentioned he had done that five times since the All-Star break, 30 or more points in a game, and in four of those five, he has handed out 10 or more assists. Three straight games for Dame, having scored 30 or more, and now, since the All-Star break, Damian Lillard is shooting 45% from the floor, and look, I've long preached sample size and its importance on this show. I will grant you, it is not the largest sample size that there is, but it's at least big enough to start to form an opinion, to see some trends forming here for Damian Lillard. And I don't think anyone can dispute he has been a much different player since the All-Star break. Why is that exactly? Well, I think on the court it's a number of things, but why have those happened? That's the million-dollar question. I go back to a number of things. You know, we had said, leading into the All-Star break, mentioned this to a couple of players as well. I remember talking about it with Pat Connaughton, with Bobby Portis, Malik Beasley. It really seemed like, and Bobby kind of backed these up in a separate interview, it really seemed like the Bucks, more than any other team, just needed the All-Star break at the moment it came, more than any other team in the league. When you think about all the change that they had been through, think about an up-and-down season, think about all the headlines swirling and surrounding that Bucks team and the narrative that was starting to set in about, are the Bucks underachieving? Are the Bucks a disappointment? Do you think they would make the trade for Damian Lillard all over again if they had the chance? All of these things. A new coach, right? And then after 43 games, another new coach. The absence of an assistant coach a week before the season begins. It just felt like they needed a moment to take a breath and start over. And that's when the All-Star break came into play. It came at the absolute right time for this Bucks team. Damian Lillard has now played in 14 games since the All-Star break. In those 14 games, he is shooting 45% from the field and 43% on his threes. He has hit 54 threes since the break, most on the team. Malik Beasley is next in line at 39, and Bees is shooting 38% since the All-Star break. Brook Lopez is third with 31 makes. And Brook Lopez, by the way, is shooting 44% from three since the All-Star break. That's the other thing that really jumps out here is the overall shooting by individuals on this team from three since the break. Damian Lillard, as we mentioned, his hot shooting. We went through what Malik Beasley is doing. Brook Lopez as well. But A.J. Green in 11 games is shooting 44% on threes. If you're not already seated, you may want to look for a chair. Giannis, in 11 games since the All-Star break, is shooting 48% on his threes and 72% on free throws. Dame has been a three-level scorer since the break. He's hitting threes at a much higher volume, 43%. He's hitting free throws at a higher volume. Not that that was ever an issue before, but he's a 94% free throw shooter since the All-Star break. Before the break, Dame was second on the team in three-pointers made. Malik Beasley made more. Damian Lillard shot 34% on threes before the break. 42% from the floor. The numbers have lifted. His efficiency has lifted. His scoring, right, when you look at his per-game production, it has been fairly consistent throughout the year. 25 points a game, basically, that he was averaging before the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, 25 points per game. It is almost identical, the per-game scoring that Damian Lillard has averaged. He has just been much more efficient, and that's what has stood out the most. That and his playmaking ability. 8-plus assists per game, right? The story that we had, the story we mentioned about Giannis, and man, Giannis is a playmaker. It has grown so much, and it has. But you looked at the Bucks' assist totals. Dame and Giannis, right around the same. Chris Middleton, too, in the games that he had played, right around the same averages. Damian Lillard is averaging nearly two assists per game more after the All-Star break than he is before. That should not get lost in the numbers. When we talk about his efficiency increases, he has been more of a playmaker as well. And granted, you need guys to hit shots to get those assists to go up. But Damian Lillard, his passing ability, we saw it early in the season. And Doc Rivers talked about it before the game again tonight and said, you know, with guys like Dame and a guy I had last year in James Harden, that gets lost in the shuffle so much because of their scoring ability. We can forget just how good they are at keeping the offense moving and facilitating things. And to me, just as impressive as Damian Lillard shooting spikes, what he has done specifically with his three-point shooting since the All-Star break, what he is doing as a playmaker and keeping the ball moving, his facilitating, that is just as impressive. And oh, by the way, not that turnovers were an issue, but cutting down on that as well. So the numbers continuing to spike, and again, it I think a lot of that is a credit to Doc Rivers and the work that has been put into, let's get this working. Right, let's get this. We invested a lot to bring Damian Lillard here. We know the importance of pairing him up with Giannis. Let's make sure we optimize that. And that's what we've seen for 14 games coming out of the break. We'll take a look at that matchup with the Thunder and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks take down the Nets tonight, night two of a back-to-back, and now two big matchups to close out this three-game homestand. That's the other piece of this, and we talked about this Bucks schedule that remains. It is still challenging when you think about those teams that are left there. You do have one with the Celtics. By the time that game rolls around, the Celtics are going to have already clinched the one seed in the Eastern Conference. You have a potentially huge game with the New York Knicks. You have two games left with the Oklahoma City Thunder, that game against the Lakers on Tuesday. So there's still a lot of tough matchups here on the schedule for the Bucks. But after this three-game homestand, you have a three-game road trip. And then after that, this is it's all stretches for the Bucks. Three-game homestand followed by three-game road trip followed by a five-game homestand. followed by two games on the road to wrap up the regular season. So that's the other positive here, a lot of home games for the Bucks down this stretch. The next home game is Sunday nights here against the Oklahoma City Thunder, a big showdown between two high-powered offenses. Sunday night, 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.